Hey, welcome back to Life Sculptors Podcast, where we help your life take shape. I'm your host, Dante Poole, and it is so good to be back here with you again. Today, oh my goodness, I have another great book for you. It's called Stuck by Oliver Jeffers. Oh man, we're going to have a conversation today about how to get unstuck. Okay, all right. Let's get into the reading. Let's get into it. It all began when Floyd's kite became stuck in a tree. And he tried pulling and swinging, but it wouldn't come unstuck. The trouble really began when he threw his favorite shoe to knock the kite loose. And that got stuck too. So he threw up the other shoe to knock down his favorite one. And unbelievably, that got stuck as well. And in order to knock down his other shoe, Floyd fetched Mitch, his cat. Cats get stuck in trees all the time, but this was getting ridiculous. Floyd fetched a ladder. He was going to sort this out once and for all. And he threw it in. I'm sure you can guess what happened. The ladder was borrowed from a neighbor and would definitely need to get put back before anyone noticed. And in order to do so, Floyd flung a bucket of paint at it. And wouldn't you know it, the bucket of paint got stuck. Then Floyd tried a duck to knock down the bucket of paint, a chair to knock down the duck, his friend's bicycle to knock down the chair, the kitchen sink to knock down his friend's bicycle, Floyd's front door to knock down the kitchen sink, the family car to knock down the front door, the milkman to knock down the family car, an orangutan to knock down the milkman, who surely had somewhere else to be, a small boat to knock down the orangutan, a big boat to knock down the small boat, a rhinoceros to knock down the big boat, a long-distance truck to knock down the rhinoceros, and the house across the street to knock down the long-distance truck, a lighthouse to knock down the house no longer across the street, a curious whale in the wrong place at the wrong time to knock down the lighthouse, and they all got stuck. A fire engine was passing and heard all of the commotion, and the firemen stopped to see if they could help him at all. And up they went. First the fire engine, followed by the firemen, one by one. And there they stayed, stuck between the orangutan and one of those boats. Firemen would definitely be noticed missing, and Floyd knew he'd be in big trouble. Then he had an idea, and he went to find a saw. He lined it up as best he could and hurled it up to the tree. And that was it. There was no more room left in the tree, and the kite came unstuck. Floyd was delighted. I mean, he had forgotten all about his kite and put it to use immediately, enjoying the rest of his day very much. That night, Floyd fell asleep exhausted. Though before he did, he could have sworn there was something he was forgetting. The end. Y'all, Floyd left everything stuck in the tree. All right, guys, what a great book. Thank you, Oliver Jeffers. Let me tell you something. A kite stuck in a tree, on the surface, right, looks like a simple problem. I mean, but if you've ever tried to get a kite out of or unstuck from something, whether it was a tree or the power lines or whatever, it can be very frustrating and very tedious. It requires lots of patience, determination, and sometimes inventiveness. Our main character here, Floyd is the epitome of all these elements as he gets more and more outlandish in the things and people he chooses to use to dislodge his kite. Man, on the surface, it appears that the kite is the only thing stuck. But Floyd was stuck too. Like, at first glance, it seems like a little irrational and even insane to keep doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result. And this raises the question of what does it mean to be stuck? Like, being stuck could mean, you know, unable to move forward due to limitations in your ability or opportunity or even your mindset or mentality. But Dr. Ava Pemerink, a psychologist and a life coach, says that we feel stuck when we believe that we should be having some other experience than what we are currently having. But the resources we have can't seem to get us to the different state. Let me read that again. To be stuck, she says, is when we believe that we should be having some other experience and that what we are currently having right now isn't what we want. But the resources we have can't get us to a different place. And sometimes those resources include like our intellect, our skills, our talents, our abilities, they our discernment, our tools, maybe even other people. And what's interesting about when we feel stuck, it's like the more we try to force our way out of being stuck into the next thing, the more stuck we feel. Like, we have all had points in our lives where we have felt stuck. Like, and often when we feel stuck, we erroneously conclude that maybe we've done something wrong. Like, somehow being stuck could be that I've done something that got me stuck. And if we're not careful, we end up assuming a victim's mentality as we hold thoughts that this is happening to us. Can I just tell you that life isn't happening to you? Life is happening for you. And so those times when we feel stuck, they are just not momentary. Like, they could feel like it's a season of feeling stuck. I want to liken it to airplanes. Can we just talk about airplanes for a moment? You know, as someone who travels for work, I have this experience, and I have these experiences on planes, and there are times when an airplane is ready to take off or to land, but the airport or the traffic controllers are not ready for that plane to take off or arrive, because the conditions aren't favorable for the safety of the plane. And so the tower controllers put the plane in a holding pattern. Now, sometimes that means that plane is sitting on the runway, right? Yeah, like you've taxied away from the loading dock and you are out on the runway and you're waiting for takeoff. But sometimes it means that that plane is circling above or near the airport until the conditions on the ground are right for a safe and successful landing. Mm-mm. And so if you've ever ridden on a plane, you know this feeling of stuckness, because as soon, right, as you get word that that's what you're all going to be doing, you just have to take a deep breath, because you know you can't get off the plane. You can't turn, like, go to do something else. You are literally on this plane waiting. You know, there's a sound that really describes the anxiety that people feel on the plane. And it's the sound that occurs when the plane lands, right? And it begins to taxi and it pulls up to the accordion thingy, right? And as soon as the plane stops, I mean, the captain hasn't even hit the turn, hit the fasten your seatbelt button off. He hadn't even turned it off yet, but as soon as the plane pulls up to the little accordion thingy, the sound of seatbelts unbuckling rings throughout the cabin as anxious travelers are wanting to get off this plane. And it seems like it takes forever to get to the accordion thingy that connects the door and the plane. Like, what are y'all doing out there? Like, really? I mean, y'all saw us coming on the plane. Why can't you just pull the thing up and just go on and hook it and let us off this thing? Oh, and it's even worse after the door is open, because now you have to sit and wait for the other passengers to get their baggage from the overhead compartments. I mean, they're taking their time, man. You are chomping at the bit, like, can y'all please get off this plane? Oh, and don't let there be somebody who needs a wheelchair and if you are on the back of the plane, good Lord, you just sit there because you know it's going to be a while. And forget about it if you have a connecting flight. Oh, woo-hoo, child. The anxiety is through the roof, because you know that the moment you get off that plane, you are at the mercy of what feels like thousands of passengers and travelers in the corridors as you're trying to get to your next gate. You're like playing the human version of an old game we used to play called Frogger. Or maybe it's like Tetris, and you just start dodging people, moving from side to side, because you're trying to make your way to the next gate. Have you ever felt like you were in a holding pattern in your life? Like you want to do the next thing? And you feel talented enough? You feel skilled enough? And sometimes you're tired enough. You're frustrated enough. You simply have had enough of your current situation. But something is holding you up. You're stuck. Maybe you feel trapped in a job that you hate, or in a relationship that isn't working for you, or maybe your life doesn't resemble the one that you imagined for yourself. Y'all, it could feel like a crisis, especially if the life you have betrayed to others is based on some distorted or fantasized version of success. We are so good at putting the filtered version of our life on display for others. And so when the life we have really been living comes face to face with the life you have been portraying to everyone else, the one you want everyone else to believe that you're living, when those two things come face to face, we call it a crisis of truth. Yes. And so the lack of congruency between the life you are living and the one you want people to believe you're living can cause you to experience depression and shame and embarrassment and anger. And sometimes you have some destructive behaviors and thoughts. Our thinking often has us stuck. And when you consider the character in our story, Floyd, there wasn't really anything wrong with the things that Floyd hurled into the tree to get his kite down. I mean, there's nothing wrong with a front door or a boat or a whale or a fireman or a chair or his favorite shoe. They all function just fine in their proper place. And the tree was most definitely not their proper place. Yet Floyd misused them. Floyd abused them, even, because if you don't use something the way it's supposed to be used, then you're abusing it. And so because of his abuse, it took Floyd a lot longer to get to his solution. And there was even greater consequences, because there was collateral damage as the result of him not only thinking of his problem and not considering how his problem and his solution or his attempt at a solution was affecting other folks. His solution was to find something to throw into the tree to free his kite, but he never considered other options. I mean, he had a ladder, for sakes, and he took the ladder instead of leaning it up against the tree and climbing up the tree and getting his ladder, he threw the ladder into the tree. This, y'all, was determination gone wrong. Yeah. See, we think of determination to be a good thing until we get stuck. Y'all know I love words, right? And so in preparing for the conversation, I came across a wonderful word. The word is pertinacity. P-E-R-T-I-N-A-C-I-T-Y, pertinacity. Pertinacity, y'all. Oh, I just love to say it. Pertinacity. And it is the quality, right, of sticking with something no matter what. Oh my gosh. Yes. It's a type of persistence and determination. It's stubbornness, steadfastness. It's to let go of all other things and become so singularly focused on the one thing. A simple way to describe this would be, it's what it means to make up your mind. You have met and have been in situations where someone has made up their mind about something and there was nothing you could tell them. There was nothing you could do. There was no amount of intervention that was going to get them unstuck. It may be time to start thinking about your thinking. The million-dollar word for that is metacognition. It's to think about your thinking. And so being stuck really is an opportunity to go inward so that you can go forward. Oh, that's so good. So if I find myself in a situation where I don't seem to be moving forward, maybe I should take the time to look in as opposed to looking out. the way out is in. Hmm. Determination, man, is such an important thing. And it's to be determined, it means like that we avoid stopping and surrendering because there appears to be a way to win. But sometimes there doesn't appear to be a way to win. There isn't a time. And determination requires something we talked about last time, and that is it requires frustration tolerance. If I'm going to be determined about something, I have to have high frustration tolerance. I have to have the resolve to stay the course when it feels impossible or when it seems like I can't figure things out. Which brings us to this other thing we should be considering when it comes to being stuck. That I need inventiveness. And inventiveness, you know, the root word of that is invent, right? And to invent means to create something for the purpose of serving something better, right? That's why we invent things. We want to make something better. We want to make something easier. We want to make something more work more efficiently or effectively. We invent it, right? And so when I'm inventing, though, I have to surrender to the process of the unknown. If I'm going to get unstuck, then I have to be willing to surrender to the process of the unknown. I have to allow myself to experience the emotions and of things not going the way I had planned or hoped. I have to allow myself to experience those things so that I can be transformed to creating a new path. Like, it means, right? And I know it's going to feel like I'm talking out two sides of my face. I know it. But I'm telling you, if I'm going to get unstuck, then it means I have to utilize familiar things in unfamiliar ways. Yeah, see, this is what I employed about Floyd. Floyd was willing to use familiar things in unfamiliar ways to try to find a solution to his problem. Maybe, just maybe, the solution that you're looking for is coming to you in a package or a person that you did not expect. Sometimes we make up our minds about a thing, and we begin to apply ineffective and often unsustainable solutions to the challenges and problems in our lives. In the addictions world, we call this being stuck on stupid. Oh, yeah, I said it. Yep. Sometimes we get stuck on stupid, and it manifests as being strong and wrong. Yes. You know when somebody is stuck, when they are strong and wrong, and they refuse to surrender to the truth that maybe the way I've been thinking about this isn't working. Maybe the way I've been approaching this isn't really effective. And often the results of those kinds of thinking, when we get stuck like this, there are unintended consequences. I don't know that Floyd intended for the mailman and the milkman and the fireman to all get hung up in the tree. He was just trying to solve the problem, but because he was stuck, there were unintended consequences. And so I'm telling you, it takes courage to admit when something's not working. It takes courage to stop doing something that isn't working so that you can make room for something that is more effective. And let me just say it one more time. Maybe the thing that you are looking for is coming from a place you least expect it. I have a saying that I use, and it really is a principle for how I live my life. And it is this, that everything we need comes to us. I just believe it, that if I need it, it's coming to me. I don't know how it's coming. I don't know who's bringing it. I don't know, you know, how it's going to get there. And so if I'm in a situation where I need something and I don't have what I need, I expect it to come in some way. And it doesn't mean I just kind of sit on my hands and I wait for something to happen. It just means I anticipate and expect that it's coming. That something is coming that is going to be good, okay? And so if we want to get unstuck, then we may need to make room for the unexpected, sometimes even the unwanted. I can't say it enough. It could be that the solution you need is wrapped in packaging that doesn't even look like a solution. So let me offer a few things to help you get unstuck, okay? So one, I want you to change your perspective. Like, take a step back. Change your viewing point of the problem. Like, shift your energy even. Sometimes you have to look away from the problem and get engaged in some things that bring you greater fulfillment, that bring you greater joy in your life, and come back to that thing. Because the way you've been looking at it, sometimes the thing that you focus on the most, you get more of. So if I just keep focusing on the problem, I just feel like I keep getting more problem. But if I start looking other places, it might open me up to something more. So I got to change my perspective. If I'm down in the grass level looking at it, I might need to get up in the tree top and get a treetop view of the problem. I got to change the way I'm looking at it. And then number two, is I gotta allow some other voices to inform my situation. Good Lord. Sometimes, right, we don't listen. And because we don't listen, we miss some things. Like sometimes you're on the plane, right? And if you got a connecting flight and you know, they'll change the gate on you. And if you're not listening, you will travel all the way to the other side of the airport, going to a gate that is no longer the gate that you're supposed to be at because the information changed because you weren't listening to the voices because you let your anxiety and what you thought you knew be the loudest thing in your head. When you're in a season where you feel stuck, it may be that it's time to let some voices in to help you develop. Myron Golden is a guy who talks about mindsets and wealth and shifting the way we think about our lives. And he says this. He's talking about, he's quoting Abraham Lincoln, who says, you know, that prepare because maybe your time will come. And I'm paraphrasing that. And Myron says, your moment is coming, whether you want it to or not. And you will either be revealed or exposed. Oh, man. And so if I'm prepared, if I've developed during my season of waiting for my time to come, then when my time comes, I'm going to be revealed to the world as someone who has been prepared and ready for what's coming. But if I don't develop, if I don't prepare, then I'm going to be exposed. Don't be so anxious to move from where you are that you end up unable to be successful in your next because you were underdeveloped and not prepared. Okay, here's number three. Let go of what isn't working. Like for real, like let go of what isn't working. Sometimes, right, we have the right information in the wrong season. It's what I was saying about the gate. You know, the gate that I had on my boarding pass might have been right at the moment they gave it to me, but something changed along the way, and I had to let go of that information so that I have the right information at the right time, because otherwise I'm going to have the right information at the wrong time. When I have the right information at the right time, when I've updated my information, when I've let go of what I used to do, how I used to do it, the way I used to think about it, when I let go of some people who may have been along the journey, who are no longer serving my purpose well, or may even be a hindrance to my next, when I learn to let go, then it keeps me from being anxious about next. Just because you're feeling stuck in your current situation doesn't mean you have to become stagnant. I'm just saying, if you can change your perspective, if you can allow for other voices, if you can let go of what isn't working, then you can dynamically be developing while you live through this holding pattern. And can I just tell you that there's safety in your patience. If you get impatient, you may put yourself in a situation that is not in your best interest. There is safety in your patience. Take a deep breath and think it through. The conditions of your next, they're being prepared for you so that when you arrive, they'll be ready for you. And your job is to just prepare so that you can occupy your next. Which means then that being stuck is not a condition, but a process. And maybe, just maybe, you will have to deal with the discomfort of this season so that you can be prepared for the next. One of my Peloton instructors said this. She said, maybe you stop asking yourself for permission to do hard things. Maybe you stop asking yourself for permission for the uncomfortable things, the things you don't want to do. And maybe, just maybe, you start telling yourself to just do them. Rebecca Kennedy said it this way. She says, everything is uncomfortable until it's not. And so being stuck then is an opportunity to go inward so that you can go forward. Y'all, the way out is in. That's all I got for you today. You know who this is, Dante Poole, Life Sculptors Podcast. You're enough. You're enough. Can I get you to just like, subscribe, and share. Until next time, be enough.